meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have a countercultural message today. It is exclusionary, it's discriminating, it's judgmental. It calls for unity, not diversity, and it will be rejected by many. Today's world is a world of great change. Our technological society is changing at a rate unheard of since the beginning of our creation. But the truly amazing changes don't have to do with technology. They have to do with truth. I was reading the new speech rules on gender from Princeton University's HR department. They basically want to do with anything that refers to man as a species. So the word mankind must be replaced by humankind. And there's nothing wrong with the word humankind. But really, do they think that people are either so simple-minded that they can't perceive the meaning of the term mankind? Or that they're so fragile that using a term such as manpower would either confuse or injure them? So they forbid words like man-made, man-hours, man-the-post, workman-like, layman, and spokesman, etc. It's a good thing that we've solved all the important problems of this world so that we can focus on such important issues as these. The problem, however, is not with word choice. It is with the denial of biology, as if physical and biological differences are not real, but only social, cultural constructs. You see, as a society, we have become dependent upon our feelings as the determinant force in the universe. I feel oppressed. I feel disrespected. I feel like I need a safe space to hide from microaggressions. I feel like God would not do this or that other thing. The problem is also with a denial of creation itself. It is with a denial that God created them, male and female. It is a denial that there is some fundamental truths apart from how we feel. It is a denial of God's word, not just in this issue, but in the relativism of today's modern world. The modern world, Western culture, rejects exclusivity, discrimination, unity, and judgment. It glorifies diversity, tolerance, inclusivity, and feelings. But that is not the way of God. We are called out of the world to be a distinct people, to live by unchanging rules, to believe in eternal truths. Diversity works against unity. Diversity arose from Cain's murder of Abel. It came through God's punishment of a disobedient people who were building the Tower of Babel. Diversity stems from the schemes of the devil whispering into the ears of egotistical people that God's ways were not good. Diversity diverts us from communion and faith and belief and onto the wide path that leads onto destruction. That is why we come in Christ to be joined together in one body. That is why we come before our Lord and Savior to partake of his body and blood in a holy communion, not in an unholy dispersion. The Lord calls us to reject the devil and all of his works and all of his ways, not to be tolerant of evil. He commands that we discriminate between good and evil, that we discriminate between heresy and orthodoxy, that we discriminate between justice and the mistreatment of the poor and the weak and the rejected. We are to be a discriminating people, to test the spirits to see if they are from God. Today's society wants us to stop up our mouths, lest we offend somebody. Yet Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape the sentence of hell?" Is that a politically correct statement? I think not. Yet it was uttered by the perfect Son of God to bring people face to face with reality and thus for them to have the chance of salvation. The Bible says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In Proverbs, it says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your mind to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Out of the fallen world, God sent Jesus Christ to reconcile the world to Him. By dying and rising again to life, Jesus Christ paid the price for the sins of the world through His perfect life, His suffering and death upon the cross, and His resurrection. Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil. Now God regards those who believe in the person and the work of Jesus for them as if they have the righteousness of Christ Himself. But that does not mean all people are saved. Our gospel reading, our message of good news, which is what the gospel means, is that if we believe in the person and the work of Jesus Christ for us, then we have received His free gift of salvation. It is a narrow door, it tells us in our text today. It is not wide enough to allow the passage through to those who believe only that they lived a good life. It is not wide enough to let those through who believe in the ways of Hinduism or the practices of Buddha. It is not wide enough to allow those who follow that the belief that God is Allah and Muhammad is His prophet. Sounds unfair. I can see people covering their ears in the outside world and running for their safe spaces. Why can't everyone enter into heaven? Well, they can. But Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." So it is wide enough for all to enter, but only and exclusively by going through the narrow door that is Jesus Christ. The door is narrow because it requires faith in Jesus Christ as the way. It is narrow because there are a host of things that will pull us in other directions off that narrow path. Things like riches that draw our attention away from the giver of all good things and make us feel as if we are in control, at least until disaster and disease and betrayal strike us. The door is narrow because it requires us to deny our feelings. We cannot find the way through to the way by the burning in our heart. We cannot find the way by the feelings of love and peace inside us. We cannot find the way through any emotion or quality of our human hearts. Jesus Himself said, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." The door is narrow because it requires us to deny our intellect. Not that we are without reason and logic, but our reason and knowledge is given by God, the maker and giver of all reason and logic. That is why Paul said, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." The door is narrow because when left on our own, we simply make the wrong choice. Adam and Eve, living in a perfect world, used their free will to disobey God and choose evil. The world increased in sin until God called forth a judgment, and millions died. And after the flood, only 8 people were saved. Humanity had chosen sin, wickedness, and evil. As the world continued in sin, Lot and his family were spared from God's judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. This time, an angel of the Lord had to take them by the hand and lead them away from evil and out of destruction. And even then, Lot's wife looked back with affection to what was going to be destroyed and was turned into a pillar of salt. Yet despite all these exclusions, these discriminations, these judgments, no, in fact, because of them, the door is wide open. The truth is that it is impossible for man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But for God, all things are possible. We stand at the door, and He invites us to come on in, to drop our burdens and our baggage. He has paid the price. He has met the entrance requirement, and He has fulfilled all things for us. The Lord's will is to see all mankind saved. God's choice for the world is eternal life. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2. God wants salvation for all, but not all people are saved. Why? Well, sadly, people choose damnation. How then can anyone be saved, asked the disciples. Salvation is impossible for man, but with God all things are possible. Our eternal salvation depends only, solely, and truly upon God's grace alone. It is most certainly true that we do not deserve to be saved, nor can we earn or buy our forgiveness. It is God's free grace alone that saves us. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and regeneration of holy baptism. God's grace opens wide heaven's narrow door. God freely forgives. Freely, God provides eternity as our home. This is God's grace to us. In spite of our sins, the door is open wide without any merit or worthiness of our own. Even though it is a narrow door, it's opened wide by God's grace, swinging it wide for all to enter who believe. Those trusting and believing God's grace alone enter in. We have our time of grace here on earth. When it is done, when our lives are finished, that door is closed. God's word says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now, brothers and sisters, now is the time of God's favor. And now is the day of salvation. Thankfully and wonderfully, our loving Father, the Lord God Almighty, does not leave us to our own human frailty to enter heaven. God has worked faith in our hearts. It's not our work. God has placed His gospel in our ears that we may display God's love in our lives. Heaven's door is narrow, but God's will opens heaven's door wide. By God's grace, we stand at the threshold until our time comes to walk through that door. And we rejoice in the hope and glory of God. By grace, we now stand ready to enter in the narrow door. Rejoice, brothers and sisters. The love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with you now and always. Amen.